The fireman that opened for the devil we return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go. Kill the inside and let it burn. It's not the only will. Kill the inside and let it burn. The empty eyes are falling down the path of no return. In blindness he wonders if his mind will ever learn. A moment of something.
Welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash, donate, fund, keep free speech alive for your children and grandchildren. This is your Friday night health and wellness edition, and we're going to cover some of the articles that have to do with health and wellness, and maybe a little bit more. First off, what's new in the land of monkeypox? San Francisco and New York declare state of emergency over monkeypox. According to Stormer, San Francisco is having to declare a state of emergency. The HWO is actually telling homos to stop going to orgies. From the San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco officials declared a state of emergency on Thursday in response to the growing spread of monkeypox cases across the city. The declaration will allow Mayor London, Breed, and other city officials to marshal resources and personnel to confront the intensifying monkeypox. As of Wednesday, the city reported that 261 people had confirmed or probable monkeypox infections. Health officials said they anticipate that figure will only grow in the next coming days and weeks. A rapid surge of monkeypox cases in San Francisco has collided with a scarcity of available vaccines. To date, city officials said they've received about 8,200 doses of the Jawenos vaccine, which is intended to prevent monkeypox. We want the flexibility to be able to use our resources to best serve the public and protect the health, according to San Francisco Health Officer Susan Phillip on Thursday. Interestingly enough, my comments here, it was these same areas pretty much that were affected by AIDS back in 1981. So, New York health officials as well declares the entire state a state of emergency in view of the monkeypox and says that it's an imminent threat to public health. New York State's health commissioner declared monkeypox an imminent threat on Thursday amid rapid increases in cases. That means that this declaration, local health departments engaged in response and prevention activities will be able to access additional state reimbursement after federal and state funding sources are maximized. The United States has one of the highest levels of monkeypox in the world, with over 4,900 confirmed cases as of Thursday, according to the CDC. New York has the highest number of cases of monkeypox out of any state reporting those figures, according to the CDC data. There are 1,341 confirmed monkeypox cases in New York as of Thursday. San Francisco, also declaring the health emergency, had reported 261 cases in that city alone. We need to be prepared, and this declaration will allow us to serve the city better, according to the health director. Biden administrations continue to weigh whether monkeypox should be declared a public health emergency, federal health officials said on Thursday. We continue to monitor the response throughout the country on monkeypox, Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier told on Thursday. And like I said, this whole thing just very, very similar to what was going on with AIDS, and you can look that up once again in the archive. You can, if you can, type in GRIDS, New York Times, 1981. It's GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency syndrome, is what it was called. The title of the article is "A New Homosexual Disorder Worries Health Officials." You can actually pull up that archive if you maybe DuckDuckGo it. Google's not letting you, it's not letting you find it very easily. But in the article, you read down and you see that the overwhelming amount of cases back in 81 were popping up in New York City, New York State, New Jersey, and in California. So again, very similar to what we're seeing here with a monkeypox. So we got that, and also here in other health and wellness news, it looks like they're going to try to bring the mask back. Yeah, you might be done with COVID-19. COVID-19's not done with you. They're going to do full-on mask tyranny in everywhere that they can, probably mostly the bigger cities, more liberal areas. But yeah, getting this. But we have some conflicting reports here between Seattle in Los Angeles, hearing news about the mask. So, what we've got in Seattle, you've got the director, or the CDC in Seattle is talking about that there's not enough, that the that there is evidence that you should have a mask on. Health officials there talking about implementing mask requirements again, whereas over in California, because of the public outcry, they are they're not implementing it. This is from SeattleTimes.com. Should you still be wearing a mask? As COVID rates climb, health experts say the answer is yes. About 4 months have passed since Washington State's statewide indoor mask mandate ended, but some local infectious disease experts and state epidemiologists are hoping recent increases in case rates will remind residents not to relax measures too much. Statewide COVID levels have been rising since mid-March in Washington State and began to show signs of leveling. But according to Department of Health's COVID data dashboard, as of early July, the state recorded a 7-day case rate of 225 infections per 100,000. While King County is actively considering if and when additional public health requirements might be necessary, there are no definite plans to return to the indoor mask. But Dr. Jeff Duchin said in his news briefing last month, no additional requirements, but said that either Department of Health is focused on health system capacity, severity, and disease in Washington State, and what is on the horizon in terms of variants. But mask use seemed to drop significantly since the mandate ended in March, according to the data from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation.
Eyes about a face.
Well, meanwhile, over in California, surprisingly, according to Yahoo News, amid outcry and new data, Los Angeles health officials drop a plan to reinstate indoor mask mandates. Public health officials in Los Angeles County cited declining COVID-19 hospitalizations when they refrained Thursday from reinstating an indoor mask mandate that was set to go back into effect on Friday. At a meeting that was streamed live, Public Health Director Barbara Frerer addressed reporters about the decision, which she said was made solely based on the downward trend in serious illness for those infected with COVID-19. She says, as I noted last week, any indication that the county would soon be moving to the medium community level would be a good reason to not move forward with universal indoor masking, which is what we are doing today. Days before the decision, health officials had said it was all but inevitable that the indoor mask mandate would be reinstituted. But as of July 28th, COVID-19 cases in the county were still high. Since the 23rd of July, hospitalizations due to the disease caused by exposure to the coronavirus have made a steady decline. Also, they mention here, I don't want to read the entire article, but they did mention that there is new data stating that the mask use wasn't as effective. It's interesting that data in Washington State is conflicting with data now in LA County, mostly because of the public outcry over the face muzzle. Anyway, Beverly Hills Mayor Lily Bosse was outspoken about his opposition to reimposing a mask mandate and vowed that it would not be enforced. "This is a question of choice," Bosse told NBC Los Angeles. So we got one sane person. And in ongoing coverage of vaccine injury, Politico has a very interestingly candid article on the topic. Vaccine injury compensation programs are overwhelmed as congressional reform languishes. One program that covers nearly three times as many vaccines today as it did when it was created three decades ago. Despite partisan calls for change, Congress has failed to act. A pair of federal programs compensating people who suffer injuries from vaccines and pandemic treatments are now facing so many claims that thousands of people may not receive payment for their injuries anytime soon. The first program, meant for standard vaccines such as measles and polio, has too little staff to handle the number of reported injuries, and thousands of patients are waiting years for their cases to be heard. A second program designed for vaccines and other treatments created or used during pandemics has seen unsustainable growth. Between 2010 and 2020, the Countermeasure Injury Compensation Program, between that decade of 2010 to 2020, received 500 complaints. But in the 2 years since COVID-19, it's received over 8,000 complaints. More than 5,000 of those are of the 8,000 are directly related to the COVID-19 vaccines, with injuries ranging from sore shoulder to death, according to the Health Resources and Services Administration. An additional 3,000 complaints related to everything from drugs and devices to the failure of hospital staff to limit infection spread have also been filed. Yet the pandemic fund has paid zero claims, in part because officials are waiting for people to submit detailed medical records and documentation to back up their allegations. Well, that could take a decade. By the time you drag all that up, mail it in, they go through it. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Compensation determinations are made based on individual case reviews, and the statute sets a very high standard that a claimant must meet to be eligible for compensation. This according to HRSA spokesperson David Bowman. So should COVID-19 shots become routine once the pandemic ends, alleged injuries would eventually be handled by the already overburdened standard vaccine injury compensation program. Patient advocates, attorneys, and the pharmaceutical industry fear that without drastic reforms, the program could collapse. Yes, basically, these programs are stopping you from being able to sue the pharmaceutical companies and the medical establishment directly. Anyway, despite bipartisan calls for change, Congress has failed to act, frustrating those who say that the vaccine injury compensatory program, which covers nearly three times as many vaccines as when it was created, is definitely overwhelmed. The fears are that those optics could fuel vaccine hesitancy if the public makes the situation as too many injuries flooding into the program, when in fact the number of vaccines covered by the program has grown. Look, even though this is a relatively honest article by Politico, you know, they're fearing the optics of reporting too many injuries that it would cause vaccine hesitancy. I mean, shouldn't they be fearing that maybe they've got a product out there that's destroying people's health and killing them? You see, very candid about what they're really concerned with there is scaring people away from getting the precious vaccine, you know, instead of saying, hey, let's, you know, this whole thing is a huge mistake, kind of like the swine flu. I've read history on that, you know, what little injuries there were then. I mean, you know, they just dropped the whole program. So, I mean, obviously they're pushing forward on this. It's not going to stop. They're going to push the vax no matter what. They're going to come out with new vaxes. And even though they may publish some honest articles like this Politico one on injury, they're still going to push it, and they're still going to make it mandatory to be able to function in society. And it'll eventually go probably to some kind of a chip. And we'll finish up the section with some more positive news here, something kind of lighthearted. I wanted to give you a health tip for the summer, exercise tip, swimming. And these are things that I already knew because I've been swimming laps for a long time to keep in great shape. But from swimming.org, 8 benefits of swimming, whatever your fitness level is. No matter your fitness level, the general benefits of swimming are yours to go out and grab and make your own. It has the power to give your muscles a makeover, transform you into a cardio king, and turn back the clock, and calm you quicker than a secluded beach in the Bahamas. Anyway, top 8 benefits of swimming. Gives you a full body workout by using all of the muscles. It's great for general well-being. Just 30 minutes of swimming 3 times a week, along with a diet, is one of the best ways to stay fit. It de-stresses and relaxes you. It burns calories. A gentle swim can burn over 200 calories in a half hour. Much better than even a run if you did a 5K. Lowers your risk of disease. It supports the body. It increases your energy levels. 30 minutes of swimming again increases your metabolic rate. And you're exercising without the sweat. So something in the summer, you know, in these hot, record hot days, take yourself a nice swim. I have an acre and a half pond at my uncle's that I go to. I swim the length of it. But anyway, this is the break is coming up, and I'll be back on the other side with more health and wellness news on In Plain Sight.
There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me.
Security for them, but not for us. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. House lawmakers are being offered up to $10,000 to beef up their home security systems amid increasing threats of violence. They can also get up to $150 a month to pay for the system service. To summarize, lawmakers who each earn $174,000 a year and each have a $1.3 million expense account will get more for security because of threats. Meanwhile, out in the real world, crime rates are skyrocketing across the country. 145 law enforcement have been killed in the line of duty so far this year. The average police salary is less than one-third a member of the House, and I'd rather see that $5 million go to protecting law enforcement so that they're around to protect me when I need them. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Head now, head now, don't you
today, tales of war and lies, but you turned right over to the TV page.
Taking your calls a lot Friday night drive, 512-248-8252. And I do want to cover from the West Kentucky News that I hold here in my currently nicotine-stained fingers. The My Two Cents article from Teresa Ann Pearson that I always like to sit on the back porch and read. This time she is highlighting baking soda. Baking soda is scientifically known as sodium bicarbonate. We all know some of the most common uses of baking soda, like baking soda deodorizers. It will deodorize your fridge. But not only that, it can also be used as a personal deodorant for underarms and feet, and as a household deodorant in carpets. Let me interject there. A lot of the deodorants that you put on have chemicals in them, and I don't want to get into that whole thing, but It's just not a good thing for you. I would highly recommend this. Give it a try. I mean, if you get complaints at the office or, from your friends, I don't know. I'm not dogmatic on this no deodorant thing. But if you could find an alternative, that would be great. Baking soda seems to work. Also,
It can work when dissolved in water as a household deodorant in carpets. Here are some things you might not know about baking soda and reasons you need to always have some in your home. A cheap box of baking soda can clean your entire home. It is highly versatile and it is a mild abrasive. It dissolves dirt, tackles odors, and cuts through grime often found in the kitchen. Baking soda also has antiseptic properties and is an excellent exfoliator. That would be getting off dead skin. Make a paste by mixing baking soda with an equal amount of lemon juice and a bit of water to clean your kitchen. It is handy as a scourging agent and a deodorizer. Baking soda works wonders when soaked in water with fruits or vegetables. It removes a high amount of pesticides. That's very important. Even if you get your fruits from the farmer's market, no matter where you get your fruit, actually, you're gonna have pesticide issues, and that's a very, very good idea to clean your fruits thoroughly before you consume them. In addition, sodium bicarbonate can remove other chemical residues and pesticides from the skin of fruits and vegetables. Baking soda helps to neutralize the skin's pH balance. It also fights infection caused due to bug bites. Apply baking soda paste to the bitten area several times a day to find relief on bug bites. To make this paste, you would mix baking soda with some water until you get the right consistency. Brushing with baking soda has also been done for decades, and with good reason. So brushing your teeth, that would be the application. You're brushing your teeth. The slightly grainy and abrasive quality of baking soda also makes it great for scrubbing away stubborn plaque and stains. Baking soda helps give laundry a deeper clean. Mixing baking soda with water also gives it a slicker feel, meaning you don't have to use as much detergent for softener to get your clothes softer. If used immediately, baking soda can remove oil stains. As soon as you spill oil on a piece of clothing or fabric, immediately pat the excess oil off of the infected areas. Then create a baking soda paste with water and apply it generously to the stain. Let it lie for at least 1 hour and then gently brush the dried paste off. Wash the fabric in cold water and let it air dry. A similar method can be used to remove oil stains from hard surfaces such as concrete or stone. This is interesting advice, not only to get away from the chemicals that we use every day that are very harmful, but where we could find ourselves in a very real situation of supply shortages. Now, I've not heard, maybe baking soda will be in a, maybe it'll be one of these things that's hard to get, but stock up now. Every time that I go to the grocery, I buy extra cans of food, rice, and, different pastas, store them in a dry area, and probably got a good 6 months worth of food.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First are right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next are beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames, eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Back to Melodic Tones, Gene Buckley. An Endpoint Sight, Friday Night Health and Wellness Edition, Cigarettes and Martini. We got our call. Paul in California is up next. Paul, welcome to the show.
I got to tell you, Jeremy, I am really liking the music selection tonight. You know, Billy Idol, Crowded House, you know, Phil Collins, and then you dipped back to the 70s there with Fleetwood Mac. But yeah. I just love the 80s. One of the things I called about is you're talking about swimming, which really tickles my fancy. I was a I was a swimmer in high school and college, and yeah, it's a great great exercise. A little known fact, which I'll mention to you and all the listeners. Swimming is extremely good for your lymphatic system because there's a pressure the water exerts on you. This also, this compressive feature of the water provides tremendous support, so you can exercise much more vigorously in the water than you could on land. It basically supports all your joints and your range of motion. So it's almost like wearing one of those body sleeves when you're in the water. And again, the problem that a lot of people have today is when they exercise, a lot of times it's just not vigorous enough, and you don't really get enough what I call large and or intense or rapid movement of the large muscle groups to really get your lymphatic system going. And of course, that is a problem for a lot of people today with their health, and wellness. So really good swimming exercise that's vigorous enough will really get your lymphatic system going, and that's one of the feel-good components of it. I had a conversation years ago with one of these guys who used to do these mini triathlons, and he was telling me something I kind of already knew, being a swimmer myself, is that he trained with the bicycle and he ran, but he said he never felt so physically cleansed and physically exhilarated as when he did a good swimming workout. So there you go.
It's hard to do year round. I swim in a pond. I detest swimming pools. I really do. I will if I have to, but I've got my uncle has about an acre and a fourth pond, and I'll swim it from the dock to the levee, you know, and back. And man, it is. No, you're right. You get out of there and you feel great. You sleep well that night. You eat well. You feel like what you eat matters. Like every bit of it is just going towards health in your body, assuming you're having a good diet, of course. But yeah, it's hard to do in the winter. I have a wood stove, so I chop a lot of wood. So I stay active year round, but I don't know how these people in sedentary environments do it. If you're in an office, man, that's got to be rough. But yeah, I guess if you had to, you know, you could swim in a pool at your health club or whatever. But there's a lot of chlorine in there.
Yeah, I know.
This, and, you know, I don't know.
It's a drawback, and it's unfortunate. Indoor pools are the worst, but yeah, good outdoor pool if they have modest chlorine usage, you can get used to it. What's a shame is that both iodine and ozone are much better at keeping the water clean, and they're actually good for you. And actually, tests and experiments have been done a while ago now. But actually, as nearby as Stanford University at their pool, and all the swimmers preferred iodine or ozone. But, you know, it's a very powerful industry to supply chlorine, and so they never changed over, which is really kind of infuriating, unfortunately. But nothing like training, what I call interval training. I'm sure you know what that is, and if you can do interval training in a swimming pool, you will take your fitness up several notches. In fact, just for the fun of it, I'll tell you what it did for me. So I started swimming when I was a freshman in high school, and after just 2 years of swimming, you know, I used to dabble around on the pull-up bar, see what I could do. After 2 years of swimming, I could do 25 pull-ups, and I could do 15 muscle-ups, just one after another. I remember one time reading an article in some magazine about some guy and how many sit-ups he did, and also some kind of world record at the time. This is way before Herschel Walker made famous his push-up and his sit-up routine. And I laid a towel down on the carpet in the hallway, and I did 450 sit-ups as a 16-year-old. And by the time I was 18, my senior year, I was doing 35 pull-ups. And my time in the 200-yard freestyle, this will give you an idea just for the fun of it, is back in the mid-70s. My time in the 200-yard freestyle would have won the Olympics every year up until about 1960, I believe. I'd have to double-check it again. That's a cool thing about the Internet. But I'm going to drop a name here just for the fun of it. I think it would have taken Don Scholander to have beat that time. Of course, I say that in not any way to brag, because it's it's nothing today, and there were so many people regionally and statewide that were better. I couldn't even get past the first heat. I mean, when people watch swimming on TV at, say, like the Worlds or the Olympics, they're seeing the top one-half of 1% of athletes. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, I like to joke that regionally I was probably in the top, say, 5% of swimmers, but all that meant was I was a spectator when it came to any state or national competition. In fact, if you're not in the top 1% or maybe the less than 2% of the top swimmers in any regional or statewide competition, you're a spectator. So, anyway.
Yeah. and swim. They had a gymnasium with an outdoor pool. It was very well funded since it was out in the desert. And I would swim for over an hour and a half, but I would take, you know, breaks. I would take short interval breaks. And I lost a lot of weight, and I was able to, you know, my workouts meant a lot more, and I could get through that 12-hour shift in no time. So, yeah, interval swimming, a very good training exercise. Anyway, hey, Mike said we lost Paul. Paul, are you still there? Okay. Well, I hope you heard that, Paul, but we'll go on to the next caller. Appreciate the call, my friend. I think we have Sherry in Kansas next.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Sherry.
I would like to encourage people to listen to Jeff Bennett's show on, he did a show on metabolic typing. It was a week ago, Wednesday was the fourth of the series, and the three Wednesdays before that on his show. But what it's about, he used to work with Dr. Kelly before he passed. And do you know who Dr. Kelly is?
What's the first name?
Donald. William Donald.
I've heard of him. I've heard Jeff Bennett.
He helped more people cure their cancer than anybody else, I do believe. And but this isn't this metabolic typing book, and I just got mine today from him. It's not only good for you know, cancer. I think it's good for all sorts of health problems myself. But it was a fascinating series, and you can listen to the shows and see if you think what you think. But I had been looking, and it has to do with your pH of your body and keeping it optimum for your individual, you know, because everybody's different. And it's kind of a trying to balance the play between your autonomic and your, they call it your parasympathetic and your sympathetic nervous system. And one of them is your autonomic system is controls your breathing, your heartbeat, things that your body has to do that you, and the other, the central nervous system controls your, it's more of an at-will thing. You know,
yeah,
that you can control it yourself. And but it's really fascinating the way he went through it, because basically what he went through was there was someone who followed up on Dr. Kelly's, what he was doing with people, and it was a doctor named Nicholas Gonzalez out of New York City. And He basically was trying to see if there was anything to what this guy was doing, and he became a convert. And this was a talk that he gave that Jeff was going through. But it's really fascinating, and I think there really is something to it. But I wanted to comment what Paul was just saying, because a lot of us don't have access to a swimming pool or a pond, but another thing that's good for your lymph system is I've got one of these little rebounders, and I started really getting serious about it last November, and I got up to where I was working out on it 40 minutes, and rebounding really pumps your lymph at the I really saw some where I was having I've injured a knee, and I was having problems with it, especially when the weather changed. And it had just improving my lymphatic system by jumping on the rebounder really made a difference. I wasn't having to take a painkiller when the weather changed. And and it's improved my muscle tone a lot. And I'm a boomer, man. But those are really good. Now, it would be even better if you had a full-size trampoline. When I first learned about rebounding, there was this Al Carter out, and he was two-time national champion wrestling. He went to Oklahoma State University out of Stillwater. And he said he never did weight training, but he always worked out on trampolines. And he could, at the age of 39, he could still do 100 one-arm push-ups.
It's fascinating. I mean, back to the metabolic typing, that makes sense because we each have our own unique DNA, don't we? And
yep.
So it makes sense that we have our own unique metabolism. And that, so, you know, we should have a diet that's unique to us of proteins and carbohydrates and fats. So I could give dietary advice, or you could, but what's good for me may not be good for the next person. You know, I'm very active. I'm 46. I can still run a 5K and do over 100 push-ups and like 20 pull-ups. I can do a lot of that stuff. My diet might be different for someone else. So the metabolic typing makes sense. I've looked into that just a little bit.
And it's like he's got 12 different, you know, 12 different metabolic types. So it's, but yeah, I think you'd find it fascinating. But this is called the self do it yourself book, 12 types, self test for 12 or different metabolic types. But one thing it does say is that if you've got cancer right now, you really don't want to do this test. You want to follow some of his other advice till you get over, you get in remission, and then you want to do the metabolic typing, because Jeff said this test takes about 5 hours to do, and I just got the book, so I haven't really read it, but I think it's well worth it myself, because Dr. Kelly really was he should have won an Nobel Prize in Medicine, I think.
Lots of good resources on RBN, and we should take advantage of. Hey, thanks for your call.
That's all I had. Thanks.
Got Vinny. Vinny in Indiana is up next. Vinny, welcome to the show.
Jeremy.
Hey.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, I think we have to take the advice and stop calling it monkeypox. I mean, I think it's offensive to monkeys. I mean, what did the monkeys ever do to us? And Tucker Carlson held a naming contest with his audience about, you know, yeah, we shouldn't call it monkeypox. Maybe we could come up with a new name. And his audience voted to team up with a new name. Wait for it. Schlong COVID.
Schlong COVID?
Yeah. I thought that was great. Anyway, it makes the point that, yeah, it's, you know, it's basically for the most part, it's a sexually transmitted disease. And to be serious, people in the anti-vaxxer community have been predicting that the world, you know, Big Pharma and the World Health Organization was going to push some type of pox vaccine. They're going to try, they spent all this money developing smallpox type vaccines and treatments, and huge amounts of money got spent, and nobody's getting any return on it. So they were going to look for some ways of pushing this. And there's a really well respected person in the anti-vax community. She's a kidney specialist. She goes with Dr. Susan Humphreys, and she wrote a book about most of what we hear about smallpox, how smallpox was supposedly eradicated, is not really true. It really wasn't vaccines that eradicated smallpox. It was really improvements in sanitation and nutrition. that eradicated smallpox. I think she makes a really strong case, and you can find lots of lectures by her out there on the internet. And she makes the point that, you know, just like what Willem Pelham was talking about last night, you know, do viruses exist? Yes, viruses exist. But do viruses necessarily cause a particular disease in and of themselves? And the point she makes is that, you know, something, a lot of diseases like pertussis, which is whooping cough, it's part of, children get exposed to that, I don't know if it's a virus or a bacteria, but what really causes severe pertussis is low vitamin C. So, you know, there's the germ theory part of the problem, but then there's the, what they call the terrain problem, part of the problem, which is what Lorraine Day says. You know, flies don't cause garbage. It's the fact it's the environment that had that really promotes, that has a major part of the, whether or not the seriousness of the disease.
Hey, hang on, Vinny, we'll take this break. I'll hold you over.
The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today. Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
65, I was 17.
Last segment in plain sight, we had Vinny on the phone. I think Vinny hung up. So, yeah, you know, the advice that I give on health and wellness, or that you get from a doctor or whatever website, you know, it's got to be tailored to your unique physical condition. Everybody has their own unique DNA. My diet is not your diet. Maybe you don't want to smoke American cigarettes and drink martinis at the end of the night. You know, maybe you don't want to have as much fat as I do. It's different. So, I mean, this is not dogmatic. You've got to figure out what your unique physical condition is, what it is that you need, what you need to improve on. Maybe you're grossly overweight and, you might need to go on a crash diet. You know, the best way to lose weight is to quit eating. Reduction of calories in comparison to the calories that you burn. But the food that you do eat has to be quality. I mean, I had a friend, very good friend of mine, and I know he's listening right now, and I want to just give a shout to him, man. But he lost a lot of weight by just reducing calories. He just quit eating. But the problem was that what he ate wasn't always quality. I mean, there was the fast food every now and then. And his mentality was, well, I'll eat whatever I want. I'll just reduce it. And he lost weight. But that's not a great way to stay in shape. I mean, you got to have, you know, a lot of proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. You got to have all of that. Everybody's like, oh, you got to stay away from carbs, man. No carb. Well, you got to have a certain amount of carbs. And it just depends on what you're eating. And there is some universal things, though. No matter what your body type or your DNA or your metabolic typing, stay away from high fructose corn syrup, which is in everything. You should be looking at the ingredients on whatever you buy. And so stuff like butter, right? Get sweet cream butter, salted sweet cream butter. That way, if you leave a stick of butter out in the cabinet, you know it's salted and it's not going to go bad. And don't do the margarine spreads, which is like vegetable oil that's got a lot of the corn syrups and the processed oils in it. You got to stay away from that. Fresh meat and vegetables as much as you can. Cook that stuff with olive oil or peanut butter, peanut oil. Those are very good oils to cook with. I know some of you might be.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.